The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Exciting times ahead for God's people. Wherever you are, wherever you go, God's doing some incredible things in this earth. But make no mistake, the enemy wants to stop it. He'll do everything he can. And that's one of the reasons I want to talk about fasting. Because I believe it's a spiritual discipline that gives us power and strength, supernatural ability to overcome the temptations and the power of the enemy over people's lives, over our life individually, and as we minister to other people. I ask everyone, I told everyone I'm going to be reading this book by Jensen Franklin, Fasting. He has several others in regards to fasting. If you'd like to pick that up, yeah, it's just a great little book. Gives you information about fasting and how powerful it is. We're going to talk this morning about proclaiming a fast. Because individual fast is one thing, but proclaiming a fast is another for a group of people. Fasting is an extremely important part of our spiritual discipline, but it's almost been lost in the church. I'm very thankful to Jensen Franklin, because every year they have a 21-day fast at the beginning of the year. And he spurred a lot of churches, including myself, to continue and get back into the practice of fasting more often. When I first became a believer, I fasted, prayed and fasted quite a bit. And you know, just like our spiritual life, if we're not careful, we just kind of fade away from those things. Becomes a little more difficult to do it. But if you get back to it, if you just keep coming back, I don't care how many times you've tried and you failed, just keep coming back. Yes, don't give up. Right. It's powerful. It will change your life. I read a story about a Turkish officer who told his troops that if they died in battle, the next day they would sup with Muhammad. Well, the first battle that they came in contact with, he deserted. When they found him, he was asked, "Do you not want to sup with Muhammad?" He said, "Oh, yes, but yesterday was my day of fasting." Now, I tell you that story because I want you to understand that fasting can become a religious practice rather than a spiritual discipline. And we'll talk about spiritual disciplines. Yeah. Fasting has, in the past, it has been a very strong power to usher in spiritual renewal and revival in our country and all over the world. Many of you may be aware of the first Great Awakening. There was several different people that was involved with that. Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, Wesley's. But the first Great Awakening actually took place before the United States became a country. It was during the time of the colonies. And Jonathan Edwards was one of the figures, one of the men that God used in the first Great Awakening. And Jonathan Edwards had a desire to reach New England. In fact, before he started preaching, he spent much time in prayer and fasting. He had a famous message that he preached over and over throughout the colonies, a sinner in the hands of an angry God. It would not be a very popular message today, I can tell you that. As people don't want to hear about sin or what God might do to those who continue in sin. However, as he was he was preparing his very first time to preach that message. He spent 3 days praying and fasting, complete fast, and hardly slept. When he walked into the pulpit that first time to preach that message. Now, here's something else before I go on with this. I need to tell you about Jonathan Edwards. The things that I've researched about him tells me that he was not a powerful preacher. It seems that he had a very weak, squeaky-like voice. And also, he spoke in monotone. So Jonathan Edwards was not what you would think of as an entertaining speaker. However, he had one thing on his side that made him powerful, and that was the anointing of the Holy Spirit and his time in prayer and fasting. After that 3 days of prayer and fasting, the first time he preached that message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, he walked into the pulpit. He was weak. He could hardly stand. He hadn't had much sleep. He hadn't had anything to eat. But the power of the Holy Spirit descended on that place. And before he began to speak, people began to weep. Before he was finished, the altar was filled with people who were repenting of their sins. And it wasn't because Jonathan Edwards was so powerful. It was because God is so powerful. You know, today in our pulpits, we want entertainment. Sorry to tell you that, but that's reality. We live in an entertaining society. We want entertainment wherever we go. We want to be entertained. What we need is the fire of the Holy Spirit. We need it in this place. We need it in our nation. We need it every place in the world. We need God's people to rise up so we can see the power of God move in the lives, not only in our lives, but in the lives of other people. So, as one of the things that I believe will bring that to pass is if we understand the discipline of fasting. The first thing I want to talk about is what is a biblical proclamation fast? Of course, fast is the Hebrew word means to abstain from food. An actual biblical fast has to do with food. Now, I know that there are people sometimes who fast things like TV or they give up something that they like to do, and I'm not opposed to that. I'm just trying to give you some biblical background for what a fast is. In the Old Testament, the Jews had one day that God told them to fast as a congregation, and that was the Great Day of Atonement. And they had to fast during that day. However, after they went into the Babylonian captivity, they had established several other fasts. They fasted on a time in the first month, the fifth month, the seventh month, and the tenth month. So they had proclaimed fasts or group fasts throughout the year. But here's what I want you to understand about a proclamation fast. It is a fast, a time of prayer and fasting proclaimed for the whole assembly, for everyone. So that's what we're doing here. We're proclaiming a fast. I'll give you a scriptural background for that, 36:9. There's many of them, but this one just makes it real clear. Now it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem. Okay, that's very important for us to understand. There is much biblical precedent. I could give you scripture after scripture of fast being proclaimed, and we'll look at some of the different times that happened. When a fast is proclaimed, you are invited to be a part of it. Do not feel that you have to. That's not what this is all about. We want you to be a part of it. I believe that there is supernatural strength when we that is added when everybody gets involved. The more people that are involved with it, the more power is available. However, If you have some kind of physical condition, you need to make sure that you check with your doctor if it's okay for you to be involved with a fast. Or make sure you do some kind of a fast that you know is not going to harm you in any way if you want to be involved with this. But please, what we want is a group of people who have a desire to grow closer to the Lord through this time of prayer and fasting. We need breakthrough. We need breakthrough here at Bethel Worship Center. We need breakthrough in our county. We need to see the drug addictions broken. We need to see the divorce rate decline, wiped out in the church. We need to see people's lives changed and altered. Amen. And I believe when God's people who are called by His name get serious about seeking Him, things happen. He'll heal our land. He'll heal our county. He'll heal our nation. Don't let your guard down. It's time to continue to do battle. Amen? Let me give you some biblical reasons for a proclamation fast. A time of national threat in 2 Chronicles 23, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. The reason he did this was because the Ammonites and Moabites were attacking him and attacking his country, and the only thing they were in great number. His only option was to seek the Lord and see the power of God move in this situation. Not that it was his last resort. He understood. He was a good king who understood the power of God. But he also knew his limitations. And he realized that if God didn't show up, they were in big, big trouble. In Esther, the story of Esther, of course, Haman wanted to kill all the Jews, and he'd convinced the king to do that, to set a day where all the Jewish people would be wiped out in the kingdom. So what did they do? The only thing they knew to do in this situation, they gathered together in verse 16, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." I love that scripture because she understood that they were going to bombard heaven on her behalf because she's the one that had to go and talk to the king. And it was against the law to come into the presence of the king without his permission. If he didn't hold his scepter out to her, she was going to die. She was taking a huge chance because she believed God was on her side. But they prepared themselves. That's what I want you to see in this. They prepared themselves by praying and fasting and seeking God. The next thing that we need to do proclamation fast for is for direction. In Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, as they were heading back to Jerusalem, God's gave them the opportunity to go back and rebuild the wall and set up the temple and do a great work in Jerusalem. And Ezra says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek Him from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions." They needed God's direction in this situation and His protection. And they did that. In Acts chapter 13, 1 through 4, we see in the New Testament, the church is trying to find God's will for a particular situation. "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manani, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them.'" They were seeking God's will and His direction. They fasted, they prayed, and God spoke. How did God speak? He didn't come with a booming voice from heaven. He spoke to them the same way he speaks to his people today. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke through the gift of prophecy. He spoke to his people the same way he's speaking today. People say, oh, those gifts have been done away with. Why would God wipe his gifts out that his church needs so desperately in this time of need? This difficult time in the world right now. We're coming into the end. We're coming down to the end of all things. Jesus is coming back soon. We need these gifts operating in the church today and in the world more than any other time. Amen. Hallelujah. For direction, we fast and pray. Jensen Franklin tells a story about a man in his congregation. As I told you, they fast and pray. Every year, they do a 21-day fast, and they invite the whole congregation to be involved with it, just like we're doing right now. And during this time, this guy had a struggling business, and he got a call from a corporation that had offered him a job, and it was an incredible offer. The pay would have been just outrageous. And he was praying, fasting, asking God. He went to an interview. And while he was there interviewing, he was still in this time of prayer and fasting. He did the first interview, and they were waiting for him to answer whether he was going to take the job. And he couldn't believe it. The package that they had offered him was just incredible. He would have to leave Georgia and move halfway across the country, but you know the money, the perks, all the things that went along with it was just a dream come true for him. He said he could have retired in 5 years had he taken this position. And that night, as he was seeking the Lord spoke to him and said, "This is not my will for you." He went in and he to the next day and he told them they couldn't believe that he turned it down. And he went back to Georgia, and not long after that, his business turned around, and he started, I can't tell you exactly what the business was, but Jensen tells the story, that his business turned around, and today he is now a millionaire, because he listened to the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not telling everybody in here, you're going to become a millionaire because you listen to God. God has some. That's very possible. Maybe that's what he has for you. But whatever it is, I want you to hear what he is saying to you. And I want this church to hear. You see, this corporate time of fasting, this proclaimed fast, it's not just for direction for Bethel Worship Center. It's direction for you. It's so you hear the Lord. And then together we hear the Lord. And then we see things happen. The next thing is when there's a need of spiritual revival, renewal, we need that now. I believe we need it. Joel 2:15, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land in the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Jonah 3:5, of course, we know the story of Jonah. Jonah went and preached to the people of Nineveh. What did they do? You know, he was upset because this is what they did. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth and the greatest to the least of them. Now, it was typical for people in those days to not only fast, but when they were fasting, they put on sackcloth, which was burlap-like material, and put ashes and dirt on them. They wanted to be as miserable as possible when they were fasting. It wasn't about their comfort. It was about becoming miserable. Later, Jesus tells us, you don't do that. There's no reason to do that. But he continued the discipline of prayer and fasting. So this says that these people, what I want you to see in this is they got very serious about praying and fasting and seeking the Lord. A word came to them. Jonah the prophet said, God's going to destroy you. They believed it. They heard the word, they repented, and they got before God, changed their direction. The next one is when in need of physical healing or deliverance. If you remember the story in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus was off praying, and when he comes back, his disciples are there with a man who has a boy who is demon-possessed. And the demon throws him into fire and throws him into water, tries to kill the boy periodically. And the disciples are unable to cast out this demon. And Jesus, of course, comes and with a word casts out the demon. And they asked Jesus, why couldn't we do this? And he says, well, it's because of your unbelief. You didn't have enough faith. But he goes on to expand on how to build your faith so that you can do that. And he says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Amen? You hear what I'm saying here? If we want to overcome, there's some disease that needs to be eradicated. There's demonic forces that are controlling and manipulating people. They need to be cast out in the name of Jesus. If we can get serious through prayer and fasting, we can see people set free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I hope you believe that. In 1985, a man by the name of Vernon Brewer was a beloved dean of students at Liberty University. In April of that year, he was diagnosed with cancer, and he was given 6 months to live. The student body loved this guy, and they all gathered themselves together, and 5,000 students decided they were going to have a one-day prayer and fasting for Vernon. They prayed and fasted. They believed God. And as of when I read this, was 2005 originally, 12 years later, Vernon was still alive. Amen. Because of the power of prayer and fasting. God moves when we get serious. This is real stuff. He wants to do that for us today in our lives. That's why I'm encouraging you. And I want you to see there's some reward in prayer and fasting. It's not all about misery. You know, it is difficult. Whatever you choose to do in fasting is not going to be easy. But it's worth it. There are rewards for the discipline of fasting. Number three, the thing I want you to see is that fasting is not a religious exercise. It's a spiritual discipline. You know, Easter's coming up. A lot of people give up things for Lent. Right? Okay. For us, you know, particularly, you know, Methodists, Episcopalians, Catholics, a lot of people observe, those denominations observe Lent. We don't necessarily observe Lent. I'm not opposed to it. If you want to give up something for Lent, that's great. You can do that. However, it's really important that we recognize that we're not just going to do these things. We're not going through this fat time of fasting here at Bethel at this time as some kind of religious exercise just because it's a time of year. We're doing it because we have a purpose in this. We know that we need the power of God to show up in this place. We need some changes here. I need some changes in my life. I need to be stirred. I need to be strong. I need to continue to be faithful to the Lord my God. I don't want to give up. We're in this battle and I want to win this race. I want to overcome. I want to be victorious. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not going to let the enemy stop me. So from time to time, I have to get back to this discipline of prayer and fasting because I know what it does for us. In Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 4, if you'll turn there, we're going to read these scriptures real quick. I want you to see three disciplines that Jesus kind of lumps together. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 1, and take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do charitable deeds, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Okay, there's some principles here. We're going to read all these, and then we're going to talk about these principles that Jesus laid out. So giving is a spiritual discipline. Verse 5 and 6. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, you go into your room, and when you have shut your door, you pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Remember that. He's going to reward you openly. 16 through 18. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with the sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. All three of these disciplines Jesus covers: giving, praying, and fasting. And he gives basically the same outline, guidelines for all of them. First of all, you don't want to be like the hypocrites who their desire when they do any of these things is to draw attention to themselves. So what are we supposed to do? Do it in secret. Give, pray, and fast secretly. Now, that's a little difficult when we proclaim a fast. We all know that we're all fasting somehow, some way. But that's not what it's talking about. We understand that. But you don't go outside these doors and proclaim to everybody that you're fasting so that they'll know how religious and holy you are. And that's what he's trying to stress here. The same with giving, the same with praying. We're not trying to impress people. The only one we need to impress is God, our Heavenly Father. So therefore, these guidelines for this is don't draw attention to yourself. Do it as secretly as possible. Now, I will say this about fasting. There are times that you need to explain to people that you're fasting. Otherwise, they're just, they don't understand what's going on. For instance, let me tell you, I learned a long time ago that when I'm fasting, I need to let my wife know that I'm fasting. Because it's very uncomfortable in my household if I'm fasting and I'm not eating a meal and I come in and she's fixed this big meal for me. And, I say, well, I'm not eating. It does not make for a happy home. So there are times that we need to make sure that we're communicating properly. That's not what Jesus is talking about here, being like the hypocrites. There's just some times that we need to communicate. You may even have to, in your workplace, you may even have to share with people that, I'm fasting. Because they're going to say, let's go to lunch, or, can I get you something? And sometimes they don't take no for an answer. So, they're just trying to be kind to you. So you may have to explain. So please don't think that you can't share this with people, but what we're talking about is the motivation of your heart. What is your desire there? Are you trying to please God and be courteous to people? See, that's really important. When we're on a fast, we have the responsibility to maintain the proper attitude in our ongoing daily life. If we conduct these spiritual disciplines, all of them, giving, praying, fasting properly, God says every time He will reward us. He'll reward you when you pray secretly and you seek His face. He'll reward you openly. When you give secretly, He will reward you openly. When you fast secretly, He will reward you openly. How many want God to reward them? Come on. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I can't think of a more diligent way to seek the Lord than prayer and fasting. Amen? Proper attitude, condition of the heart is so important. Turn with me to Isaiah 58. This is the wrong attitude and condition of the heart. Isaiah chapter 58. Let's just start with verse 3. We need to get through this. The people are saying to the Lord, "Why have we fasted and say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice?" Well, this is a dangerous attitude. They've been fasting, they've been praying, and they're saying, "God, you're not responding, you're not hearing us." And then God tells them why. "In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. You mistreat people. And what you're doing is you're supposed to be fasting and you're going about finding all kinds of pleasure. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?" He's rebuking them because what they're doing is to draw attention to themselves. What Jesus was talking about, the hypocrites. They want to be seen of men. "This is not the fast that I have chosen. Is this not the fast that I have chosen?" This one is the one He's chosen. "To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. He's going to be around you and protect you. And you shall call, and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry, and He will say, 'Here I am.'" When we fast and pray and seek His face with the right attitude, things happen. I've seen it over and over and over again. In this congregation, in other people's lives, throughout history. There's a historical event that took place in the 1870s, 1876. Minnesota was overrun with grasshoppers. It was eating all their wheat crop and all their crops. In 1876, it pretty much wiped out their crop. If it happened the next year, there would be a famine. People would lose their farms. It would devastate not only that state, but the whole nation. As spring arrived in 1877, people were concerned because they started seeing grasshoppers and larvae of grasshoppers. So the governor of that state, his name was Pillsbury, and he was a devout Christian. So he called for a day of prayer and fasting. The whole state was to pray and fast for a single day. Now, when the papers got hold of this, they just had a heyday with it. Ridiculed him, ridiculed Christians. They said all kinds of crazy things about them. That, you know, can God really do something about grasshoppers? Yes, he can. Right after their day of prayer and fasting, suddenly it warmed up. It got warm, warmer than normal. And this was devastating because every day, for 3 days, they started seeing the grasshoppers hatching. The larvae were starting to hatch. The 3 days, it was intensely warmer than it was supposed to be. People wondered, you know, what's happening? It looks like these grasshoppers are going to take over. They're going to destroy all our crops. Suddenly, on the third night, the temperature plummeted. It went to freezing. Frost was on all the crops, on everything. When they got up the next morning, the entire infestation of grasshoppers were dead. God, this is historical fact. You can read about it. God moves for his people when his people get serious about seeking his face. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, we can't forget that. There's ways in us. That's one thing about fasting. There's ways in us that we need to reckon with. We need to deal with. And fasting will bring that to a head. Turn from their wicked ways. Seek his face, pray, turn, and believe that he's going to do a work. He said he'll heal, he'll hear our prayers, and he'll heal our land. Stand with me. Hallelujah. I just want to pray this morning that you will get direction from God on, you know, how you're supposed to pray, fast and pray in this time. I want to encourage everyone to participate some way. Let God speak to you. But beyond that, as you go through this time, and God speaks to you, and he will. He'll speak to you about purging some things out of your life. He'll speak to you about a direction. He wants to communicate directly to you. You'll hear from the Lord. And as we go through this together, at the end of it, I want us to have a time of testimony, what God has done and said and direction and all the things that are happening. But for me, as the pastor here at Bethel Worship Center, I want to see a breakthrough that will happen in the lives of this community, not just our church, but in this community. I want to see things change. I want people set free. I want to see deliverance happen. I want the chains that are binding people up to be loosed. I know it can happen. I believe it will happen. Seek his face. Hear from him. Just pour your heart out to God. This is going to be an intense time for all of us. You know, somebody pointed out to me in our bulletin, we have prayer and fasting begins tomorrow. Right underneath that, we have our dinner, a monthly staff meeting dinner. So we're going to make this difficult on everybody. But now I know not everybody's going to be fasting everything. So whatever you're choosing to fast, that's great. Still come, still prepare. We'll have a meal. And we just invite everybody to come tomorrow evening and be a part of that. But as we get started with this, I'm expecting incredible things to happen in all our lives. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you. You've called us, Lord, to this time. I believe this is a specific time appointed by your Holy Spirit for Bethel Worship Center to set themselves before you in a time of prayer and fasting. The Father will hear clearly what you want. We'll cleanse ourselves. We'll purify our hearts and our hands and our minds. And we'll seek you with all our heart, soul, and mind. Father, today we just thank you that Jesus is still on the throne. He's still saving souls. Thank you for touching the hearts and minds of people, Lord. Jesus is the Savior. That you're going to bring multitudes into your kingdom. As we go forth from this place today, Father, we're going to go with expectation and preparation of what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you'd like prayer for healing, please come up. Ask our prayer warriors to come. Pray for anyone.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.